Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
We are in Acts chapter 3, so if you have your Bibles, you might want to turn there. If you have your phone, you could turn there. And if you would, stand for the reading of the Word of God. May I ask you something? You're saying, well, I don't think we have a choice, do you? Do we? Do you need a miracle in your life? Do you need healing? Physically? Emotionally? Mentally? Do you need your circumstances changed? Need prayer, an answer prayer for your family, marriage. Are you hurting this morning? Do you feel abandoned? Do you feel like your prayers now, they hit the ceiling and bounce right back at you like a boomerang? Slapping you in the face, reminding you that the prayer hasn't been answered and God seems even more distant. Well, in the words of Bob the Tomato, have I got a verse for you? Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, which would be 3 p.m. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had just happened. Now, as the lame man who was held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon, greatly amazed. Let's pray. Father, I just pray right now in this morning that each of us would see clearer why prayer is answered or seemingly unanswered. Bless our time together. I pray that each one of us would have a different perspective, a different view, a different understanding, the workings of your Spirit in our lives. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as you are seated, I want you to take note of something. That lame man daily was laid at the gate Beautiful. What you don't know is this man, we're going to find out next chapter, is over 40 years old. Daily being laid at the gate Beautiful. The gate Beautiful was the gate that would go from the Gentiles into the court of the women, which would then go into the court of the men. Now, nobody except a Jew would be able to enter into there, but also a Jew that was clean, a Jew that was whole would enter in. Not sinless, but ready to again to give the sacrifices and go into the presence of God. Now remember, it says daily he was laid at the gate. Remember, folks, this is not that much longer past Jesus' life. Many days Jesus walked by this man. Many days this man heard of Jesus. Many days this man heard the miracles and the wonders that Jesus was doing. And there he sat. Now in mind's eye, what was happening? Because remember, if you ever have been in a big city, you'll notice something. That if you lock eyes on somebody, then you are asking for, again, to be open to this person. And what that means is, when you're in a large city, you'll notice that in like New York City, people won't look at you in the eyes. Because they'll think that you're going to ask something from them. Try it. Because when you lock eyes on somebody and they're looking at you and they're begging or they're asking for something, soliciting a CD or whatever, now they're expecting you to purchase it. They're seeing that you're a person that will do something. So again, locking eyes with Peter and John, he assumed he was going to get something that he wanted. But again, we go back to Jesus. Jesus walked by this guy, and I'd venture to guess Jesus never locked his eyes on him. Passing him by. Why? He was a man lame from birth. He was a man that was hurting. He was a man that was begging. Was he not ready? Maybe he didn't have the faith. Maybe he was wallowing in his own self-pity. Maybe now, if Jesus was gone, he must have felt, it's past. No way now. Maybe it was just God's timing. See, he locked eyes with Peter and John. Now, Peter and John are walking in because it's the time of prayer. Peter and John now growing in their faith. They see this man. This man is asking something from them, something they don't have. They could have very easily have done this. I don't have anything. But see, something stirred in them too. So understand this too. It's not like they were walking around as if they were Jesus. They were not. They too were walking in the Spirit, walking in faith, ready, open for the Lord to use them. They locked eyes on this man and realizing, I don't have anything. I'm poor. But what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus, stand up and walk. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, stand up and walk. Why? Why would it wait so long? Could it be because God had something better in mind for this man? God's sovereignty. See, it's hard for us sometimes if we want to see action now. But see, there's a reality that we all have to join our hearts to. And it's the timing and the sovereignty of God, that his perspective is so much grander, so much greater than ours. We, again, see the immediate need. We see the cry of our hearts of saying that God isn't listening, when the reality is God may have something better for us. Now, instead of giving what he asked for, again, God gave him something better in Jesus' name. What that means is the character, the authority, the power, the nature of Jesus Christ. In that, he says, rise up and walk. Was it just the mention of his name that stirred and inspired faith in him? Was it just that of just hearing that once again, that as Jesus would pass by all the time and him longing for that reality to be in his life, it wasn't happening? Thinking it past. Now, these two men, maybe he recognized them, maybe he didn't. I don't know. But in that name, inspired faith in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. What does that mean to you and to me? In Jesus' own words, he said, until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. What does that mean? I mean, if that's the case, then you should be having prayers answered all the time, immediately. But remember something, we just spoke of it. See, to pray in his name, what it means is to ask in his character, his authority, his power, his nature, that is asking, is resting in the fact that he loves us and he died for us, that he wants what's best for us, that he is good and that he is Lord over us and over every situation we find ourselves in. So to say in the name of Jesus is to say, I submit unto you and to your will, knowing that's what's best in me. Even if it's not the answer I desire, I know that it's going to be what you desire. And that's what's best. That's what's best, because you are sovereign and you love me so much, just as we sang that he died for me, that he lives for me, to intercede for me, to pray for me. All these things to be true. Can we submit to that? But what is his will for us? What's his will for you? Well, see, like the lame man that's begging, was born lame. So we were born spiritually lame in sin. And at the right time, Jesus used Peter and John to deliver this man. At the right time, Jesus used somebody minister the gospel to you. Do you know that it's a truth that there's nobody that's ever come to faith apart from somebody? Somebody was praying for you. Somebody ministered to you. Somebody God used to speak into your life. Somebody. But so why? Why was it that Jesus waited till now? Well, I've just mentioned one. Remember these things. Number one, to build up his faith. Why doesn't God answer your prayers? Maybe it's to build up your faith. Remember, probably the best example is Abraham. Remember, God promised him something? He's going to have a child. And he waited and waited and waited and waited. But Romans tells us this: he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Peter goes on to say that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Jesus doesn't want you to think of him as a genie, as somebody that's at your beck and call to answer whatever you desire. He wants your faith and my faith to grow in him, that's trusting him, even though I can't see it, even though it's not coming to pass. He's telling us, he's telling you, trust me. Do you trust me? I am building up your faith, because that's what's matter. Because faith is seeing me and who I am. It's not make-believe. Seeing me for who I am. The lover of your soul. Look at verse 7. And he took him up by the right hand and lifted him up. Immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. What happened? He was transformed. What was his feet like? Well, if you have ever seen somebody that's lame, it's probably that his ankle went one way, his leg went the other. Or maybe it was at the leg, but it says ankle bone, so again, I guess we should be able to assume it was the ankle. Sitting there for everybody to see. But then all of a sudden, everybody saw something happen. He was transformed. Like the lame man, he is transforming us into his image. The great craftsman is at work in your heart. And sometimes he uses what we think is unanswered prayer to help transform us. Because what it does do is makes us intently more look at him. And we understand what Paul says, but with all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Just so we don't misunderstand, in Romans, Paul says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So maybe it was to build up his faith. It was definitely to transform him. Can you and I understand that the struggles, the circumstances, and everything that we're in, God is using? We know that all things work together for good to them who are called to his purpose, who love him. No matter what we find ourselves in, he's at work. He's at work building and strengthening our faith. He's at work transforming us. Look at verse 8. So he, leaping up, stood, walked, and entered into the temple with him, walking, leaping, and praising God. It does not take too hard for us to imagine this man, how excited he was. But understand something. He did something. What was it? He did something probably for the very first time in his whole life. He entered into the inner sanctuary. He entered into what was known as the presence of God. He entered into his courts. He entered into his courts with thanksgiving. He entered into his courts leaping, praising God. He entered in, and that's the thing that God desires, that Christ desires of each of us, is what? To grow closer, to draw closer to him, to grow deeper in our relationship with him, walking with him, leaping with him, praising him. Let me break that down a little better. As for walking, as Paul says, walk in love as Christ also loved us, given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God, a sweet smelling aroma. In Colossians, he says that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. James will tell us to draw near to him and he draw near to us. So all of a sudden, it's not just that we come to Christ that we want our lives better. We come to Christ because he is making us better. He's doing a work, a wonderful work. And he desires for us to draw closer to him, leaping. You know what? That same word is used that Jesus used the woman at the well. He said, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him become in him a fountain of water springing up, leaping up into everlasting life. Same word. To draw closer that he may pour forth living water. What else could you do but praise God? Does this draw me closer or would it push me away? Look at verse 9 and 10. We see again what would happen, of course. Peter said to him, how is it that you have... Oh, excuse me, I'm in the wrong chapter. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were all filled with wonder and amazement of what had just happened. See, when God answers prayer, and you too, and me, what we are is we're a walking testimony. We're a walking witness of who he is and his goodness. So when he answers prayer again, and if you will, even if he doesn't answer prayer, you and I are witnesses. Witnesses to who? The testimony of bringing glory to him who is faithful. And so the question too is, when there is answered prayer, who gets the glory? See, so many of us are asking for something that, again, would benefit ourselves and our own self-esteem. It doesn't bring him glory. I want it. I want to feel better about myself. I need this. I want it. The question really has to be asked, who gets the glory? Make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Who gets the glory? Now, backing up, notice something. Peter lifts him up. Verse 6. Then Peter, some will go to have a non, but what I do have, I give it to you in the name of Jesus Christ Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And he immediately, his feet and ankle bones received strength. There's something maybe we don't really consider, but we need to consider this. See, Peter and John are just like you and me. They're just guys, girls. Well, they're not girls, but you get my point. They're people. What happened in that moment? In that moment? Why would Peter say that? Could you imagine what would have happened if he lifted him up, let go, and the guy fell? Nothing happened to his ankles? How bad would he have felt? No, the Spirit spoke in his heart and he reached out his hand, knowing that God had his back. But see, answered prayer too is something that we have to consider. As just for Peter and John, it built up their faith that God's got them. See, for prayer to be answered too, it needs to build up others. Not just the lame man, but Peter and John were blessed by it. See, nothing is ever done by itself for just you. Not only the world is watching, but your brothers and sisters in Christ are watching. In fact, Paul goes on to say in Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? For our own good pleasure? No, for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Did you know that you were called to be a witness and a worker for Christ? A testimony of his goodness. Now look at verse 11. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. Can I suggest to you, because he's holding on to them? At this instant, at this moment, faith met salvation. See, it wasn't just the healing of his feet, but it was the healing of the heart. salvation, saved. He was eternally saved. Please hear this. This is the biggest part of the message, really. It's an understanding of something. God's desire above all things that we've talked about here and the transforming of you, yes, that's part of it, but it's the bigger picture that now is drawn. God's greatest desire for each of us is that we all go home with Him. Now, understanding that is to understand that God's greatest desire and security, just like Jesus says in John chapter 10, is I got you in my hands and nobody can snatch you out of it. And then he goes in a couple of verses later, he says, my Father has you in his hands and he is greater than all. And nobody can snatch you out of his hands. It's called eternal security because we've walked into his hands and there the good Father and our Savior desires for us to come home and be with Him forever and ever and ever and ever. And God will not listen to this. God does not desire for any of us to fall away. God knows your heart. God knows my heart. God knows the work that He's doing in it. And He will not give you anything that will prevent you from coming home. His desire is to protect each of us. His desire is that we again draw close to Him, understanding not only the security that we speak of, but His love for us. His desire for us to have fellowship with us. That we would have our eyes, just as this beggar focused them on Peter and John, to have them constantly focused on his Son. Though all may fall away, though all may not go, as for me and my house, I will not stop gazing at the eyes of Him who loves me forever, knowing that He's working all these things out, knowing that when I die, I go home. For the Lord Himself would descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. He's saying it to a church that's being persecuted. He's saying it to a church that others have taught them and told them that they've missed out. It's the understanding that God's desire is for you. God's desire is for you to be with Him forever. So with that, we can understand with Jeremiah, for I know that Jesus, or God says this, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart, not for trinkets, not to make yourself feel better about yourself, but to see me for who I am so that I can begin to do that wonderful work I desire to do in you. something that is eternal, something that will be perfect. For everything that I do is good and perfect. Do you believe me in my character? So the next time you use my name in Jesus' name, understand that you're saying, I trust you for your sovereignty over my life, that you will do what's best for me according to your will. And that is what I'm asking, knowing that getting that, receiving that, my joy is full. Somebody is in control. Do you ever feel like you just don't have anything in control? Don't you ever feel like everything is chaotic? If you don't, try driving around Lincoln. My goodness. Every time I get on the streets, I don't know where I'm going, but I know a place I'm trying to get to. I'm going to different routes all over the place, but it's not the route I wanted to take to get to my home. It's pretty simple, really, except with all the construction. I have to go left. I have to go right. I have to go down this neighborhood. I have to go around a cul-de-sac. Not that I was supposed to, but I turned down the wrong road. Dead end, it says. But see, there's a reality to that. God says, you're coming home. There may be side streets. There may be places that you didn't want to go. But you got to trust me. I'm bringing you home. So let's button this up. Let's talk about just unanswered prayer. Just a few things to think about, okay? Maybe the timing is not right. Maybe God's just building up your faith. Could be God is preventing the very thing that would cause you to walk away or to grow indifferent to Him. So He's protecting you. Could be He has something better for you than what you're asking for. Do you trust God that He has your best interest? So when you're asking Jesus in His name, you're asking Jesus' best in your life. In that, you can rejoice. Now it makes sense. Now I understand what James is saying. Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, and let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. It will be given to him. Rejoice. What? God's at work. Rejoice. Even through trials and tribulations, He's at work. Rest in the fact. Count it all joy. Because He uses all things, even those dead-end streets, to do the wonderful work that He wants to do in your life and to secure your life and to bring you home. Let's pray. Father, just thank You for these truths. Thank You for the reminder of them for some of us, but also maybe a news flash to some others. Pray, Father, that these words would hit each of our hearts, resting the assurance of Your love and having confidence at Your work that You're doing in all of us. Lord, it's not to belittle these things that we're going through. I know. And I pray, Lord, that You would remind all of us is to continue to ask, to continue to seek, to continue to knock. It's not like You're hiding it from us. You're just helping us to enter into the pursuit of our souls, to set ourselves aside so our focus would be clearer and truer, that what has been left lame on the outside would not hinder us from entering into Your presence. Joyful we come in, rejoicing, leaping, walking, talking to You constantly, knowing that You're guiding and directing us. And that direction is to help builders to grow in their faith, to build them up, to help our own faith to grow. But ultimately, Lord, it's to bring us home. Bless each of our hearts this morning and give us the courage to continue on, believing you are hearing our prayers. And it's this prayer we ask in Jesus' name, in His authority, in His character, in His power, in His will. Amen.